Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Before we get to that, a reminder. The Athletic delivers sports stories that matter, and they have a full-time local writers that are dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. They've got national names, Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, providing unrivaled league-level perspective and insight. Great website, all personalized, ad-free, whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge or a long-term outlook for your NBA team. Athletic is the sports coverage you need. And I would say personalized. I love it. I open up my Athletic page every morning. Right away, Steelers information, South Carolina information, whatever my teams are, if they're in the news, it's right there, right on your opening page. But you can go to any team, any page, and really get the good analysis that you're looking for. Subscribe today. It's only $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, theathletic.com/radioweek. All right, let's start started with the good, the bad, and the dumb, and the good of the day.
I actually have two.
Oh, too good.
Yeah, well,
close out the week strong.
Yeah, one is, you know, just a PSA, if you will. If you're looking for a TV show to binge watch this weekend, I don't know why you would. There's a lot of good football games going to be happening. We'll get to that in a little bit. But if you're like, you know what, I'm kind of footballed out for the day.
Right.
Queen's Gambit.
Oh my God! I saw Phil Mickelson say this was amazing.
I'm 4 episodes in.
Is it that good?
Yes.
That's awesome. I want to watch it.
Yes.
The trailer that I get didn't look appealing.
I will say this right away. I mean, it is about chess, but it's not about chess.
Okay.
More of a coming of age story for a girl becoming a woman playing chess in a man's world because it's set in the, you know what, the 50s, the 60s. But I don't know what the appeal is, why it's so entertaining, but it is. You just get sucked in, and you don't realize. I mean, we sat down, we watched. I came in late to it. My wife was already watching one episode. I was just kind of, you know, I was like helping getting dinner ready, and I was just kind of like glancing over and found myself getting stuck every once in a while. By the time we sat down and we started, you know, just relaxing, we were 4 episodes in, and each of them were an hour long.
Oh, wow.
It was, and they were just rolling through. It was.
I'm going to have to give this a whirl.
It's entertaining. I don't know why it's entertaining, though. It's hard to put my finger on, like, why is this so compelling? It just is.
Mickelson was on his flight to Houston for the Houston Open, and he tweeted out that his new favorite show is The Queen's Gambit. He said he was addicted to it. He couldn't stop watching it.
It is.
And I said, and I went, is that the chess thing I saw on Netflix? Because when I set my. When I set my cursor, if you will, or selection on something, it gives me the trailer, and I'm watching the trailer going, I don't know if this is interesting. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But everybody is saying how wonderful it is, so I'm glad you watched it, because I'll take your word for it.
It's kind of...
Right?
It's kind of slow to start, right? You know, just like any TV show where you're getting into the development of the characters and who's who and what is this, you know, who's this person going to turn out to be. So that part, you know, they really spend a lot of detailed time on that. But then once you get the basis of what the show is all about and where it's going, you're enthralled by it.
Okay. Very good. All right. Yeah.
And the other good of the day is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better man than you or I.
All right. What did he do now?
He paid tribute to a player who was who got traded from the Dolphins to the Patriots in the most Ryan Fitzpatrick way, which was sporting booty shorts during practice.
Oh, nice.
Now, when I say booty shorts, I am literally talking about booty shorts, shorts that usually are reserved for, you know, the female gender that you're like, yeah, I can look at that all day.
So he has no problems doing this.
He was out on the practice field. What he did was he took a pair of Dolphin pants, jersey pants, and cut them. And they literally just, I don't want to say how high up on the thigh they were, but and just in all his glory, just standing there.
It's a
sight to be seen. I don't know if it's fantastic, but it is a sight to be seen.
That's awesome. That's good. Good for him. Good for him. All right, then what's the bad of the day as we head to the weekend?
Oh boy, the bad of the day is, you know, you and I have a feeling about robots.
I'm a little nervous about them, yeah.
Well, Disney, the Imagineering team, decided to jump into the, you know, let's step up robot realistic game.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and you know, and you get the Imagineers behind it. They can pretty much do anything.
They do anything.
So they created a robot that can mimic staring, blinking, and breathing.
Really?
And what I'm saying by this is if you Google Disney robot stare gaze, you will see that this is perhaps the creepiest thing you've ever seen.
Are these for the rides, or are they just doing them for their own entertainment purposes?
I don't know, but I feel what I fear is this. You have people who are creating AI that, you know, to the point where, you know, machines can talk to each other, or one can write an essay talking about how they won't take over the human race.
Right.
And then now you're creating a robot that is so lifelike looking that it'll scare the you know what out of you.
Don't we need Jeff Goldblum's character in Jurassic Park?
Yeah, but this is my fear is that eventually these two ideas are going to combine with each other.
Yeah, I agree. So, like Jeff Goldblum, you know, his character said, Malcolm, where he goes, you were so preoccupied whether or not you could, you didn't think whether or not you should. Like,
yeah.
Is that what's going on here, where they're can we invent a robot that would just kill the human race? Let's try it. See if we can. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, their project was realistic and interactive robot gaze. And the team said gaze has been shown to be a key social signal shaping perceptions of interaction partners.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, so when you go to Disney World or Disneyland and you're in like the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, you can sense that, you know, they're like animatronics. They don't really have fluid motion.
Right.
But that was 50s and 60s technology. I'm thinking now that they can make a animatronic at Disney World within the Imagineers that looks like a human being, where you'd be blown away it wasn't a human being.
Exactly. That's what it is.
That's crazy. Making me nervous.
That's what I'm saying, that once these two ideas combine with each other, I think we, you know, somebody needs to just stop.
Yeah.
You know, just take a time out.
Okay. Because this is going too fast.
Yeah. You know, I mean, almost to the point of like, is there some election stuff we can just focus on instead?
See, you and I during the break were talking about, my wife and I bought a small TV for my office, right? And I paid, it was like a little bit over $100, where 10 years ago, it might have been $1,000, or 10, 15 years ago right? Things go quick. The technology moves so fast, and it becomes cheaper to do stuff. It becomes cheaper to have the very best stuff.
For the price, like I was talking about, the price I paid for our first flat screen TV back in 2007, I can get one of those like 108-inch gigantic mirror image, does everything, including your dishes TV.
Right. And so my point is that if you think this is we got some time, we don't have time. You're going to wake up one day and this is going to be real, because technology is exponential. And next thing you know, we're going to be slaves to the robot overlords.
It will be. I mean, straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, Disney is saying that the company that developed this robot says on its website that the ultimate goal is creating something that mimics real life.
Yeah, oh, wonderful.
We don't need that.
Don't need it.
We don't need it.
Thanks. You already put people in costumes and it's fun. And so, all right. What's the dumb of the day?
Ah, I couldn't wait to talk about this with you.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to read you the headline.
I'm so excited.
Or the marketing ploy, right? The hook in marketing, if you will. Who wants a bite of Santa's yum nut?
Oh, wow. Where is this coming from?
This is from manufacturer Marks and Spencer, who have created they've taken a spin on their yum yum cronut and given it a Christmassy makeover that literally is just a cronut. And, you know, who doesn't like a cronut? I actually haven't had one, but they sound delicious.
I haven't had one either.
Which is just a hybrid croissant and donut together. So, I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
It doesn't sound bad.
It's just red with Santa's belt buckle, and they're calling it Santa's yum nut.
Are they doing that on purpose, or is somebody whispering to their ear, that doesn't sound good?
Well, I don't think anyone's whispering in their ear. That's the problem. I don't think they really sat this all the way through. They all they had to do was just bring in like a teenage boy and go, how does this sound to you during their marketing? And Santa, you know, once they see that the teenage boy just can't stop laughing, because that's me.
Yeah.
The teenage boy inside of me is laughing and thinking of all the jokes.
Absolutely.
For Santa's yum nut.
That's great. Somebody pay attention. So, oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go and get you can go and I'm not sure where Marks and Spencer is. I believe it's over in the UK.
Yeah.
You can go and get, order yourself some Santa's Yum Nut.
Unbelievable. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb, your Friday edition. Hey, once again, a reminder, with holidays approaching, you may be looking for that perfect gift for somebody or the perfect gift for yourself because, you know, people are going to ask you, what do you want? And you're going to be like, nothing. And then you're going to get nothing. So you want to tell them what you want. Go to homefields.com. Check out their really cool state-of-the-art three-dimensional art pieces of some of your favorite stadiums and arenas from across the country. More than 160 stadiums and arenas available. They're all lighted. They come in three sizes, 9, 13, and 19 inches. Ron has Dodger Stadium. I have Three River Stadium. I know Anthony Pepe on our network has Fenway Park. They look great. They're lit. They're beautiful. They give you a really cool illusion effect of three-dimensional, a real three-dimensional look, and they make all, like, if you have a man cave, these are perfect. Absolutely perfect. Just, they're really great. And Ken Small, who created them, he took drone flights, took aerial shots of the stadiums, and then created these pieces where the wood sort of layers itself into this three-dimensional effect. You got to see it to believe it. And even when you see it online, trust me on this, when it comes in to the house, when you look at it and have it in your hands, it's going to look even better, especially lit up. They are fantastic. Again, homefields.com. Check it out on their website. Again, over 160 stadiums to choose from. Some stadiums aren't even around to this day. You can go back in time, get that nostalgic feel. Or if you currently like where your team is playing in their brand new billion-dollar crib, that's available too. So check them out at homefields.com. Makes the perfect gift. All right, as we continue, it is Wake Up Call on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we continue with Wake Up Call.